Can you legislate rain? Do you have the ability to do that?
No, I was thinking about that. I wish I could.
If we could spend money. Now, that would be tax money well spent.
That's right. That's right. And I was thinking, you know, there's no wildflowers this year.
Now, there are a few. You see a few, but you go over toward Conroe. We got some because the state planted some. You know, they planted some bluebonnets.
Those are the tough wildflowers.
Yeah, they do that. We could use some more rain. So Steve Ogden joining us this morning here from Brian. All right, it's this budget thing. We're doing the arm wrestle deal there. Jim Pitts is, I guess, giving us the idea of what the House wants to do.
You know, when I was talking to my wife and others this week about this, and I can see in my mind's eye all the moving parts, one of which is the House, one of which is the Senate, one of which is the governor, and on and on and on. And I keep watching this thing, and I'm saying, dear God, let's hope these things don't all collide at once.
But?
But we're headed for contentious showdown in May over this budget. And we are taking starkly different positions. And I think there's a 50-50 chance it'll work out. But eventually it has to work out. But about a 50-50 chance it'll work out by the end of May.
Well, that's what the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee said, too. You got about a 50-50 chance on this thing happening, so that's where we stand with that.
One of the things I would like to say, though, and I was particularly proud of the Senate on this yesterday, because the Senate, the first thing that the Senate did as far as the Senate's version of the budget is we adopted a recommendation for public education funding. We said it's our number one priority, and we'll find the money someplace, but we added $6 billion back to the Foundation School Program, and that is a lot of money. And what that means is that if our position prevails, then there will be modest cutbacks in public education, but there will not be the necessity to make draconian cuts and lay off a lot of people. It is a big deal, and I hope, for the sake of this state, that we win this argument on public ed.
Now you're going to do that, but you know, at the same time, yesterday y'all said you're gonna. There's $19.2 million for HIV medication for low income patients. It's not going to be there. That's draconian.
Well, it is and it isn't, and I we could probably go find that money if that really is the number one priority, but that is just one of many, many different programs that provide medication for low-income people. But basically what that program for is that's for low-income people who are not eligible for Medicaid or any other kind of health plan that will give them HIV medication, too. I think based on the Lieutenant Governor's comments, we'll probably find the money. But those are kind of the tough decisions we have to make, and we've got to prioritize spending, and we can't cover everything.
Steve Ogden joining us today. Now, you're talking about the House version of the budget and how that's going to be different than the Senate side, and one of the things that at least the analysis seems to indicate is that we're talking 270,000 plus fewer jobs in Texas because of this budget.
You know, I've been asked to comment on a report that I haven't seen or read, and so I don't know what those assumptions are. But if basically the House agrees with the kind of budget that the Senate will ultimately pass, that prediction will not come true.
The margins tax, I know this is something that just hasn't worked out to the numbers that you wanted from day one. I hear him groan in the background. From day one. So now we're going to take yet another run at that, and the stories that are coming out seem to indicate now that you're going to lower the ceiling on that from $1 million gross receipts down to $600,000 in gross receipts. That's going to engulf some small businesses that this could be a make-or-break decision for them.
Well, you know, it could be, and Senator Patrick has got the bill and finance to keep that cap at $1 million, and we're going to hear that bill next week. And it's not a foregone conclusion that we're going to lower that cap. or keep the cap where it is yet. I mean, I've just got to see that the way we did it last time was we found an offsetting method of financing that reduction in tax revenue by basically changing the way we tax smokeless tobacco. So there's always the possibility that this doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. I mean, it doesn't have to be an automatic either-or where either businesses got to pay more taxes or else the state does less money. There may be a way to work it out where we can find something to offset the loss of revenue and keep it where it's at.
Do a civics 101 for us here. The Senate last term passed a voter ID, right?
And
then House passed a voter ID this week. Now, do y'all have to come back in? Yeah. Okay. So now.
It's about time.
Now, do they take the bill that you crafted last session and you take the one from the House that they just passed and that goes to conference committee and you come up with something?
Yeah. The differences between the House version and the Senate version have to be reconciled.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that the House version is slightly different than the Senate version. So they'll have to have a conference committee and then bring it back for another vote. At the end of the day, the bills have got to be the same when they go to the governor's desk.
I just didn't know because it didn't happen this session, if that bill was still the viable bill passed by the Senate. So, all right, I'm okay with that. Hey, one of the things that y'all did this week was you had a news conference with Homeland Security about what that may be meaning for Texas.
Well, one of the things, I was at that news conference. It was held by Senator Williams, and we were trying to continue to raise public awareness and basically get the attention of Congress that the situation on the border is not improving, and that the cartel violence and crime is moving north across the Rio Grande, and in a bipartisan way. There is no political opposition to the idea that we need to secure our border and reduce the amount of crime and violence that's being transported into this state. And so the press conference was talking about initiatives that we're trying to make, and one of them that we're making a little bit of progress on is that I've been working on there's lots of congressmen that suddenly know where the state capital is because we're redistricting.
Yeah, all of a sudden it is kind of important, isn't it? Yeah.
So everyone that comes over gets an earful from me about the need for the federal government to do more to protect our border, and they go, well, like what? And I said, like putting the Coast Guard on the Rio Grande, and particularly on Lake Amistad and Lake and Falcon Lake, and that's part of their mission. Representative Carter went out with a press release today. Representative McCall, who's on that Homeland Security Committee, said he'd work on it, and so did Senator Cornyn. But what we're trying to do is get the United States Coast Guard to establish a permanent presence on the Rio Grande to begin to interdict some of these smugglers and criminals that are running back and forth across the river. That will be a relatively inexpensive but significant improvement on border security.
Wow. Now, let me see. Constitutional amendments, you've still got a few of those out there that you want to roll out.
Yeah, they are all they're really moving fast.
Yeah.
I don't know why my colleagues don't share my enthusiasm.
So you're trying to be the champion of that.
But we've got several, and I'll be happy to talk about them unless you're out of time.
No, well, I want to do that, but we do need to talk about Welborn here for a minute. Yeah. So to go ahead and kind of give me an overview of where you are with that.
Well, I'm waiting on the House, and I'm also hoping that the citizens in Welborn and the City Council in College Station can come up with a solution that's basically satisfying to the majority of the people I represent. And before I weigh in on the bill that Fred is carrying, first of all, Fred needs to get it out of the House, and secondly, I want College Station and Welborn to continue to work on something that on a appropriate and satisfactory solution.
You're not going to sponsor it in the Senate.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, in fact, I have to sponsor in the Senate. Senate because the bill is a local bill. It's bracketed in my district, and the reality is that there's only one member of the Senate that can carry and pass that bill, and that's me. But I'm not committing on that yet. Yeah. I want to see what transpires in April.
Sure, it's got to get on the floor and then get voted out before you can do that. All right, listen, we'll talk again next week.
Okay,
thanks for the
you.
Time. See
Bye.
You. All right, it's Steve Ogden.